على صراط مستقيم تنزيل العزيز الرحيم لتنذر قوما ما أنذر آباؤهم فهم غافلون لقد حق القول على أكثرهم فهم لا يؤمنون إنا جعلنا في أعناقهم أغلالا فهي إلى الأذقان فهم مقمحون وجعلنا من بين أيديهم سدا ومن خلفهم سدا فأغشيناهم فهم لا يبصرون وسواء عليهم أأنذرتهم أم لم تنذرهم لا يؤمنون إنما تنذر من اتبع الذكر وخشي الرحمن بالغيب فبشروا بمغفرة وأجر كريم إنا نحن نحيي الموتى ونكتب ما قدموا وآثارهم وكل شيء أحصيناه في إمام مبين واضرب لهم مثلا أصحاب القرية إذ جاء أرسلنا إليهم اثنين فكذبوهما فعززنا بثالث فقالوا إنا إليكم مرسلون قالوا ما أنتم إلا بشر مثلنا وما وما علينا إلا البلاغ المبين قالوا إنا تطيرنا بكم لئن لم تنتهوا لنرجمنكم وليمسنكم منا عذاب أليم قالوا طائركم معكم أئن بل أنتم قوم مسرفون وجاء من أقصى المدينة رجل يسعى قال يا قوم اتبعوا المرسلين اتبعوا من لا يسألكم أجرا وهم مهتدون وما لي لا الذي فطرني وإليه ترجعون أأتخذ من دونه آلهة إن يردني الرحمن بضر لا تغن عني شفاعتهم شيئا ولا ينقذون إني إذا لفي ضلال فاسمعون قيل ادخلي الجنة قال يا ليت قومي يعلمون بما غفر لي ربي وجعلني من المكرمين
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته and welcome back to the realest podcast in the dunya. the three Muslims minus two plus Jad. How you doing today, brother?
Alhamdulillah, how are you?
Alhamdulillah, tamam. I'm doing good, my man. All right, bismillah. So today, we're going to be discussing Brother Ruslan. And as he mentions in the video, I'm friendly with him. We've discussed a few times. He did a reaction to Sneeko's conversion to Islam, or reversion, as we say. And I think he made some interesting points. I didn't watch the full thing, but I saw the first few minutes. So inshallah, we're going to go over that. And then later, we're going to have a revert who accepted Islam, I think for quite some time ago, come on and share his story, inshallah. So with that being said, let us begin. Everyone's really loving the new countdown with Brother Yahya Busir, which shout out to him. May Allah bless him, inshallah. Amazing recitation. May Allah reward him. Very interesting point, Brother Kareem. 112 people, now 170 people, and only 47 likes. What the heck is going on?
Come on, guys. Step it up. Step it up.
Hit the like button, inshallah. Subscribe and share the stream with someone who will benefit, inshallah. Now, with that being said, I think we should just jump into the reaction. What do you say, bro?
I'm down.
All right. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And let's begin.
Disclaimer, one point is I'm going in completely blind into this video.
So okay? am I.
So is Ray. Point number two is I know Remy from the three Muslims. We've been friendly over text message. We've sent voice notes back and forth. And Remy actually may be coming on the channel. He wanted to interview me. I wanted to talk to him. I like getting information from the source's mouth. I think there'd be some great grounds for disagreement. Cordial charitable disagreement, because I think if you're going to disagree about something as Christianity versus Islam, probably should happen in person after a meal. And again, so this is Sneeko. This is at the hour and 15 minute timestamp, and this is his view on Christianity. And I think I'm going to know where he's going with this.
Essentially, we understand Jesus, peace be upon him, never died, right? So he just got lifted and he was swapped out. He wasn't the one that was crucified or anything like that.
So interesting, he says, you know, their position is basically Jesus got lifted up like Elijah in the Old Testament. Ironically enough, we covered a Muslim scholar who takes the minority view, and I'll try to link that video, that holds that Jesus did actually get crucified and did actually die and did actually resurrect, okay?
Whoa. And we believe in the second coming too.
So, okay, let's pause that for a second. I think that was quite the load there. So he's saying that he... apparently, a Muslim scholar says that Jesus did die and he was crucified and he was resurrected as well. I haven't heard of such an opinion before. He didn't name the scholar in the video, so I don't know who he's talking about, but I don't think that opinion actually exists. You might find a very, very minor opinion, right? Maybe one or two scholars had this opinion that Jesus was put on the cross but did not die on there. And their reasoning is that a crucifixion is when you actually put on the cross and you die from it. Being put on the cross is not a crucifixion. It's when you put on the cross and you die as a result. That's some weird opinion. The Ahmadis, which they're not Muslim, say the same thing, which maybe they actually believe in. You know what, bro? You know what makes so much sense?
Mm.
That he spoke to an Ahmadi.
Is that what he said?
He didn't say that, but think about it. He said that this scholar said that Jesus was put on the cross and he died and he was resurrected. They actually believe that Mirza Ghulam Ahmad is basically Jesus, alayhi salam, all over again.
Did you see? He said he was going to link it in the description. I doubt he did, but...
Really?
Yeah, he said he was going to link it in the description, the scholar he was talking about.
Oh, bro, there's so many links here. Ruslan, bro, you gotta minimize the amount of links you're using, man. Yo, what is this, man? Wait, let me pull it up again.
But yeah, that's interesting. Whenever they... I mean, nowadays you could find any scholar saying anything, unfortunately. Anyone calls himself a scholar... Wow, that is a lot of links. Yeah, it doesn't look like he put it in there.
Yeah, I don't see it. Maybe he forgot to. It's okay. Ruslan, you have my number, bro. Please send me the links, inshallah. Okay, wait, I think that's the next reaction we're probably going to do. But, yeah, so. I don't think there's any Muslim scholar that really says that. But regardless, I mean, I have nothing else to add to that. If you want to continue with the video, bro, what do you think?
Yeah, let's continue. I mean, like I was saying, unfortunately, nowadays, you don't know... I could say I'm a scholar. People would take my word for it. Yeah. So, I mean, anyone could say they're a scholar. And it's just, yeah, I don't know. It's just frustrating because then it looks bad on Muslims when a supposed scholar is saying something that we obviously don't agree with.
Yeah, 100%. And let me say quickly, I love Brother Ruslan. I think he's a great guy. This is obviously just, you know, we're just kidding. We're just joking around. There's no hate against him.
No, of course. Of course not.
And inshallah, hopefully we can link soon, as he mentioned. I don't think it's going to end up happening. I think our schedules are too conflicting, but we'll see, inshallah.
Inshallah.
So do you believe in saying,
how has your relationship with Jesus changed from Christianity to Islam in the way that you viewed Jesus, peace be upon him, as a Christian versus now as a Muslim?
It fixes all the complaints I had internally when I was going to church when I was growing up. Personally, also, I didn't like the fact that, and no disrespect to the Catholics watching, I didn't like the Holy Communion, where you go, I don't know if you understand, but the priest has a bowl of crackers, literally, and then he hands it to you and he says, this is the body of Christ. And then you take it and then you put it, and then you're symbolizing that you're taking Jesus' sacrifice. So essentially, I don't want to be disrespectful when I say this, but essentially, it symbolized cannibalism.
It symbolized cannibalism.
And I can see where him as a Catholic, basically they believe that the priest is able to, when he lifts up, I don't know if you ever see where they lift up the bread and cup, but basically at that moment when he prays, that bread becomes the actual body of Jesus and that cup becomes the actual blood of Jesus. I am more, me, Ray Castro, is really more in the Lutheran side of this idea, where I don't believe it's just a symbol, because I believe that we're doing this in the presence of God, and that if it was just a symbol, then there wouldn't be any warnings in the New Testament where Paul said, hey, some of you have taken this and have actually died, you know? I'm a person that takes scripture very seriously. And so I believe that there's a real presence in the act of taking communion. I don't think it's just a symbol.
Catholics and Protestants would have some form of disagreements on how literal does the blood and the sacrament, the blood and the body become, right? Yeah. I think all Christians would say it's something is going on in the spiritual sense. Christ is among us. Transubstantiation. Holy moly. Yeah, that is a mouthful.
I can't pronounce it either. That's why it didn't come to me.
Yes.
I didn't even try.
So we would agree that there's something that's happening, that there's something spiritual happening, that God is definitely, the presence of God is in the sacrament. The difference is, and I don't mean to make a caricature of Catholic theology, but the difference is, I don't know if Catholics would go as far as to say you eat the bread, you eat the wine, you drink the wine, and then they cut you open, look at the DNA of what that item is. Did that literally become flesh and blood, right? Again, I'm not trying to make a caricature of it, but I don't know if they would go as that far, but it definitely seems like they go more of the something is physically changing of those elements.
They believe.
Okay, well, I think that, I don't know. I don't know what Catholics believe. I think that might be a bit of a caricature of it.
That is crazy.
Yeah, I there's a lot to unpack here just with this whole topic and some of the things that were mentioned. So firstly, you know, in Greek mythology, they actually have something called omophagia, which literally means eating one's god or eating your god. Wow. So it's something that exists, and it's really interesting. So inshallah, very soon I'm going to drop a podcast with a New Testament scholar named Dr. Dennis McDonald, and he authored a book which is almost like an encyclopedia that talks about when basically early Christians or the gospel writers or New Testament writers took old stories of other people and put it onto Jesus. And it's called literary mimesis, right? Because it's like a meme, basically. The Bible, Loki, in a way, is a meme in some sense of the word. With no disrespect, literally, it's literary mimesis. So they have this idea of eating one's God. And if you read a play titled The Bacchae by a man named Euripides, who lived like hundreds of years before Jesus, you see he basically depicts a god who's a half man, half god, basically, named Dionysus, who's always dual in nature. And he's a person who basically like creates or makes wine for his believers to drink. And there was a reason he did that. I don't remember why in the play, but you could see there's already parallels between this person, Dionysus, and the early Paul's Christology of Jesus. You know, eating the bread, omophagia, drinking the wine, just like Dionysus. He's dual in nature, Dionysus, just like Jesus is dual in nature. He has the human nature and a divine nature. So there are so many similarities. And then on top of that, this is a side note. When Luke writes in Acts of the Apostles about how his teacher, Paul, who once was Saul, met Jesus on a road, the story is very similar, that he was persecuting the believers in Jesus, or in the play, persecuting the believers of Dionysus. And then the God himself, Jesus or Dionysus, appears to the person and says, "Why are you persecuting me?" And they use a very specific phrase, which is kicking against the goads, which is basically like you're wasting your time. This appears in the play hundreds of years ago. The same story with a very similar character who is God and the son of God, because they believe Zeus is capital letter G God in Greek mythology, approaches this person and uses that exact same phrasing. So it's almost as if they copied the story and put it onto Jesus and copied the idea of drinking the blood of your God or the wine and eating your God from Greek mythology.
That is just a crazy idea to me, even thinking about, like, in a very like simple sense, just logical sense, just thinking about that idea of quote unquote eating your God. Like, how could you want to do that? Like, partake in that? I don't know. It just sounds crazy to me.
Yeah, and see, that's the thing. I mean, with all due respect to Christians, I think they were given a framework that they have to work within. They didn't choose it. You know, the whole idea of eating your God, it's there. It's there. You can't do anything about it. You have to make it work. Jesus being the Son of God and being human at the same time, they have to make it work. That's why there have been so many iterations of how Jesus is God and so many workarounds that were deemed heresies. They had subordinationism, separationism, modalism, and then eventually Trinitarianism, which stuck now. There are so many different understandings of how Jesus is God. A lot of them were just kind of thrown in the garbage. Not to be disrespectful, but like the Christians themselves threw it away.
Yeah, they disregarded it.
They deemed them as heresies. But let's get back to it, inshallah, and see what they carry on with here.
That those elements are changing, and they literally believe it's the actual body and blood of Jesus, and they believe it in faith.
I do think we should ask some well-studied Catholics on the exact position.
Absolutely.
Because I don't want to create a caricature, but I do want to show what the scriptures say, which ironically enough, such a telling passage, and it literally captures exactly what Sneeko's saying. Because Jesus doubles down on this. Okay, let's go to John 6:32. I tell you the truth, Moses didn't give you bread from heaven, my Father did. And now he offers you the true bread from heaven. The true bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, give us that bread every day. Jesus replied, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But you haven't believed in me, though you have seen me. However, those the Father has given me will come to me, and I will never reject them. For I have come down from heaven to do the will of God who sent me, not to do my own will. And this is the will of God, that I should not lose even one of all those he has given me, but that I should raise them up on the last day. For it is my Father's will that all those who see his Son and believe in him should have eternal life. I will raise them up on the last day. Then the people began to murmur in disagreement because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They said, isn't this Jesus, the son of Joseph? We know his father and mother. How can he say, I come down from heaven? But Jesus replied, stop complaining about what I said. For no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them to me. And at the last day, I will raise them up. As it is written in the scriptures, they will be taught by God Almighty. Everyone who listens to the Father learns from him who comes to me. Not that anyone has ever seen the Father, only I who was sent from God. I tell you the truth, anyone who believes has eternal life. Yes, I am the bread of life. So he's doubling down on this bread of life. But watch, he takes it a step further. Your ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, but they all died. Anyone who eats bread from heaven, however, will never die. I am the bread that came down from heaven. Anyone who eats this bread will live forever, and this bread, which I will offer so the world may live, is my flesh. So Jesus repeatedly doubles down on, I am the bread, I am the bread, I am the bread.
Let's pause there. I want to get
your sound effects are so funny.
Oh, the sound effects. Yeah.
But, you see him click it like right after he finishes reading it. He just clicks the button. He's
It is funny. I mean, I've been thinking about adding sound bites here as well. I just have never gotten around to it. But I don't think I'd do anything super dramatic. Maybe I'd give myself a round of applause or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but so I think it's interesting what he's saying here because firstly, we don't believe in the Gospel of John, obviously, right? We believe that it's probably the most heretical out of the four Gospels in the New Testament. And it's the last one that was written, the last one to be collected as well. So obviously, there's a lot of skepticism even with these passages, but let's assume that Jesus actually said these things. A lot of it sounds very metaphorical. A lot of it cannot be literal, right? Obviously, it cannot be literal because Jesus is saying, eat the bread from heaven, and the bread from heaven is my flesh. Did the people start eating him alive? No. So obviously, it's not a literal thing. It's something that is metaphorical. Now, can this metaphor, even this, could this metaphor be understood in a Islamic sense? I would say, actually, yes. Because if you think about it, he could just be speaking about, you know, eating this bread from heaven is fulfilling the commandment that he is bringing to the people and obeying him and listening to him. And when he says, I will resurrect them and so on and so forth, it doesn't necessarily mean that he is the one who's doing it, but that they will be resurrected, you know, with him or because of following him, they'll be resurrected in a certain state and so on and so forth. Like there are many ways to interpret it that it does not, you know, kind of beget something that is literal or hemophagia, like I mentioned before.
Yeah, I agree. I was thinking about it. I mean, everything he was saying, like you said, it sounds like fairly metaphorical. Like you like listen to my teachings type. Like that's what I was trying to kind of getting from it. If you listen to my teachings, then you will live forever. Yeah. But like obviously, like not physically live forever. But I think that's at least what I got from it. I wouldn't take it literally, because like you said, if they were to take it literally, then why didn't they just start eating his flesh like while he was alive in front of them?
Yeah, 100%. And you know what's super interesting about this? There are other passages in the Gospel of John specifically that would allude to Jesus not being God, that would kind of point away from the Christology that Paul had and that a lot of Christians have today, which is that Jesus is God and so on and so forth. You know, versus obviously, I think like John 17:3, where he says that the Father is the only God, and he is basically an apostle of God, like a messenger, basically.
Yeah.
Right? We hear a lot in Islam, Allah's apostle. It's like a messenger, right? And if you look at New Testament scholars and their works, a lot of them believe that Jesus was this description I'm about to give. Obviously, he was Jewish, and he was a Jewish teacher. He was a prophetic figure. He was, you know, a messiah or a type, like messianic figure. And he came to reinstill the laws of Moses in the people and actually make practicing the law easier. So he took the law of Moses and God commanded him to actually abrogate some things to make it easier for the people to practice. This is what Dennis McDonald believes about him. This is what some other scholars believe about him. It almost seems to be a consensus, to be honest, from just general New Testament scholarship. So this is very much in line with what we believe as Muslims to begin with. So I think that's a very interesting point. And the whole thing about eating your God and that stuff, I don't see it anywhere else other than the like, for example, the Gospel of John, which was written later, you know, Paul's Christology and understanding of Jesus and Greek mythology, to be frank, which was very popular at the time, might I add.
So if you look in the beginning of the video when he was beginning of when he starts reading this, I mean, I don't know if I was like misunderstanding it, but it looked like in the Bible, Isa alayhi salam, or Jesus, was saying, like, I was sent down not by my own will. I'm here just to deliver the message of God.
Yeah.
That's kind of confusing to me. Like, it sounds pretty clear in that he's saying, like, I'm not God, essentially. Like, he's referring to God as, like, another deity. So I'm a little bit confused as to how they interpret that as him being God. Like, I don't know how does that work?
Yeah. So what they will say is that Jesus is a different person from God with a different will. But now I think this is super problematic because you have different people with different wills, maybe even different minds, with different bodies and essences, you could say, because Jesus was physical and the Father was never physical.
Yeah.
So you're describing two separate beings, but you're just calling them two different persons, right? Two different persons would be like one body split personality disorder or something like that, you know? Two different personalities, two different understandings, two different sets of memory, right? So yeah, they're united in essence or something like that, but they're different persons. But the way you describe them, they're just different beings altogether. So I think this is the biggest problem with it. And like I said, like with all due respect to Christians, they were given a framework that they have to operate within. It's, you just can't, right? It's kind of like trying to insert Islam into liberalism. It's trying to insert Islam into a liberal society. It does not work because the foundations of it just, they contradict each other. They don't make sense. So it's unfortunate, but.
Yeah, I mean.
Oh, and if you want to live forever, you have to eat my flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then the people began arguing with each other about what he meant. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? What does Nico just say?
Yeah, cannibalism.
It sounds like cannibalism, right? Jesus doubles down again, verse 53, yet again, right? He says, I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you cannot have eternal life within you. But anyone who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise that person at the last day. For my flesh is true blood, and my blood is my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Anyone who eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. I live because of the living Father who sent me in the same way.
Honestly, I think this doesn't change anything. He's just like Jesus, and apparently in this passage, he's just saying the same thing over again.
Yeah, exactly. It's repeating
himself. Saying, yeah, the same exact words. He actually doesn't describe it. And let's be real. Like if Ruslan or someone asked me a question about Islam, like let's say I say, you know, we believe the Prophet Muhammad is a true prophet. And he's like, okay, how? Like I thought, you know, he's not a true prophet. Didn't he do X, Y, Z? Didn't he believe X, Y, Z? And I'm like, hear me, listen, he's a true prophet.
Exactly. Like, you just okay, repeat yourself. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, didn't he, you know, fight in battles? He's a true prophet. It's like, it doesn't get anywhere. There's no explanation.
Yeah. Exactly.
Like, it's the same thing here.
Supporting evidence.
Anyone who feeds on me will live because of me. I am the true bread that came down from heaven. Anyone who eats this bread will not die as your ancestors did, even though they ate the manna, but will live forever.
Obviously, that can't be literal because the people died. We would still have Paul and the disciples walking around. There'd be no difference of opinion. We'd know exactly who is who, and they can narrate it to us. Not that we'd believe them if they claimed that, but they would have lived that whole time. So obviously, it's metaphorical. He's talking about the afterlife. They'll live forever in the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. And
yeah, exactly.
He said these things while he was teaching in the synagogue. Many of his disciples. So this isn't the 12. I think this is the 72, right? Because Jesus had the three close, the 72 extended. Okay. Many of his disciples said, this is very hard to understand. How can anyone accept it?
You know what this sounds like?
So
let me phrase this in the within the framework of literary mimesis. Not literary mimesis, but within historically what was happening at the time. So people did not believe the same thing about Jesus, historically speaking. You had the Ebionites who didn't believe he was God. You had the Pauline Christians who followed Paul, who believed he was God and the Son of God, and so on and so forth. And you can even read in Paul's writings that he's actively debating with them. He's actively saying, you guys are denying the cross. You're just deniers of the cross, you know, going back and forth with them. So it really seems to be the case that whoever wrote John, which, by the way, Paul's letters in Christology came before even the first gospel is written. This is the last gospel to be written, right? So it's very likely that whoever Paul taught influenced this gospel, and this person is writing this in spite of those who are rejecting Jesus. There are probably people who are going to them saying, this stuff doesn't make sense. So they invented a story where people said the same thing to Jesus. This doesn't make sense. And he just repeats it again and again, like, just quiet and listen. Historically speaking, that makes probably the most sense, rather than Jesus as this amazing prophetic teacher, this inspirational person who changed the hearts of people. All he can do is repeat himself over and over again. I don't think that's a great depiction of the great man that Jesus, peace and blessings, was.
I feel like there's a lot of contradiction just overall. I don't know, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me, but
yeah.
I don't know.
I want to know what everyone else thinks. Luna says it's metaphorical, but it seems to be manipulated as well. That's the thing. I think, like I mentioned, it's a framework that they have to make work. So I think they choose what's metaphorical and literal based on, you know, whatever they have the ability to.
It's a spiritual immortality, Thaddeus said. I think that's what we were saying, we were agreeing with.
Yeah, 100%. But if that's the case, then it's not literally, you know, like, why is that put into a little cracker at church or put into a little cup of wine? If it's metaphorical, why are you literally physically drinking something if it's a metaphor? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Why is it literal in one sense and then one step later it becomes metaphorical?
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Allahu Alam.
I get it.
Absolutely.
Right? Jesus was aware that his disciples were complaining, so he said to them, does this offend you? Then what will you think if you see the Son of Man ascend to heaven again? The Spirit alone gives eternal life. Human effort accomplishes nothing. And the very words I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But some of you do not believe me. This is why I said, the last verse here. This is why I said that people can't come to me unless the Father gives them to me. So here we have Jesus doubling down on this claim.
Yeah.
And they're probably feeling the way Sneeko feels.
Absolutely.
Right? They're probably feeling how Sneeko feels, which is like, yo, this sounds a lot like cannibalism. This is kind of crazy, right? John 16, verse 25, I've spoken these matters in figures of speech, but as soon as I stop speaking figuratively and tell you plainly all about the Father, then you will ask in my name. I'm not saying I will ask the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you dearly.
Okay. And it says it in red right there.
Yeah.
Then Jesus said he spoke these things figuratively.
Right.
Like the people in the Bible are not less human than we are today. You know what I mean?
Yes.
The question is, what are you going to do with what Christ requires of you?
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
So like whether you believe it literally becomes his physical body and his actual blood, you know, and it's not figurative speech or not, you know, will you do this in remembrance of him?
Absolutely. And shout out to Gladys. She pointed out, this is a good take, I think. Same concept. If we are cannibals, then we also can climb back into our mother's womb and be born again.
Absolutely.
Same concept. And that was another thing they struggled with.
Right.
Right. So these are...
Let's take a quick pause for a second, inshallah. And I think it's funny because it's like they're pointing out their own contradictions within.
So I don't, do they believe it or not? Are they like, it doesn't sound like they believe that like the physical aspect of it.
That's the thing. But the issue is there's no practice of people trying to crawl back in their mother's womb. There is a physical practice of drinking wine and eating bread. So why is this metaphor being literally and physically done during their sessions at mass?
That's it. Literally says figures of speech, like he's speaking in figures of speech.
Yeah, exactly, 100%. So we're gonna take a brief pause. Jad, I know you're gonna have to go in about 10 minutes or so. We have a surprise guest today. Like I mentioned, we have a brother who recently accepted Islam, and we're gonna bring him on for a little bit and discuss his story. I think inshallah he could really benefit the people in his story and a reversion to Islam. My brother, are you ready? All right, Bismillah, I'm going to bring you on. Here we go. Assalamu alaikum, brother. How you doing?
How are you doing? I'm very good. Very good. I was listening into the conversation. I take it you had is that a Trinity Christian guy you just had on?
Pardon me?
Or am I wrong? Was that a Christian you just had on there?
Yeah. It was a Christian friend named Ruslan.
Oh, very good. No, I was listening in with the Jesus discussion about like the drinking, the blood, and eating the wine. And that sort of stuff just infuriates me, I'm not going to lie. That's exactly what pushed me away from Christianity and towards Islam. Was because, you know, you look at Christian nations now, pornography is completely legal. The entire financial system is based on usury. And people just kind of like circle jerk whether Jesus...
I think... Oh, we lost him for a second.
You still there?
Hey, bro, sorry, we lost you for a second. Your camera's off now.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. We just can't see you.
Oh, my.
It's okay. I think he's going to leave and come back.
Where is he? What is he? Australian?
I have no idea. That's a good question, though.
Yeah, nice accent he has.
Yeah, Allahumma barak.
How long has he been Muslim?
I don't know. His Instagram, he posted in the masjid since April, so... I think he's been Muslim for at least 2 months, maybe.
Inshallah, let's see if we can get him back on.
Inshallah. I'll bring him up when... So his name is Lord Bear. I didn't want to say that just because, you know, like Lord, Allah is our Lord.
Yeah.
So as for his real name, I don't know if he's okay with me saying it, so I won't say it. But we'll call him Bear, inshallah, for now.
That's far out. He looks...
Yeah, Puzzle Clown said, God gave us logic to understand existence, but Christianity wants to take that out. The only religion that goes well with the mind, or that goes with the mind well, is Islam. So, you know, Jordan Peterson mentioned this in the interview with Muhammad Hijab. Oh, you're back? All right. I'll talk about this after, inshallah. No worries, brother. So, yeah, you were saying.
Yeah, I was just saying that's exactly what pushed me away from Christianity. Was that if you look at the problems in the world, especially in Christian nations, and I always like to use the phrase, you'll know them by their fruits, and if you look at the sin in what used to be Christian nations where your entire financial system is based on usury, divorce rates are 60%, the birth rates are at an all-time low, and pornography is completely legal and accessible to children, and yet there's no discussion of how to stop that. It's just... debating the Trinity, was Jesus God, even though he prayed to God, and just all this garbage. It just seems like a real deflection. It seems to me, because if you look at the Bible, the word Bible is never mentioned once, the term Christian is never mentioned once, the Trinity is never mentioned once, and I kind of feel like all this modern day discussion about Christianity and Jesus being God is just because they're too cowardly to actually focus on what is the amount of sin that is going on. So instead of having balls about you, in essence, to go, why is our entire financial system based on usury and riba? If you don't have the courage to take that on, you can just create a problem out of nothing and sit and debate it till the end days. I have no time for it. That pushed me away from Christianity big time, because there didn't seem to be any proactivity with it. It was just debating dumb theology, which made no sense to me at all. And then, you know, you read the Quran and how do I word this? How straightforward everything is, you know? How proactive it is. And that was a breath of fresh air, because for a while, I was trying to learn about, you know, how to live, you know, codes of ethics, a moral conduct, and all I got was, are you drinking the blood and eating the flesh? And I went, you know what I mean? It's just, I don't get it at all. I have no time for it.
Yeah, I think that's beautifully said, bro. I mean, as one of our subscribers mentioned earlier, God created us with a mind. Christianity wants to take all that away and just have us accept whatever they claim, frankly, not what makes sense to us. And this whole issue of them not wanting to be pragmatic and practical and fix their society actually comes from the creation of liberalism, because Christianity was the dominant. The church and the state were one. That's why they created secularism. They stripped the church away from the state and said that we're not going to be governed by the Bible or by, you know, what people say God decreed or by God. We're just going to govern ourselves. And I mean, look at where it got them. And that's why Christianity is what it is today, because it's been completely divorced from law.
I've never understood that. When people talk about separating church and state as a bad thing, I've never understood that at all. Because if your law is based on something that man made, then that law can be edited and changed to suit whatever political agenda. So if you look at the age of consent, for example, if your law isn't backed by a strong faith, why not change it to 10? Why not change it to 14? Why not take away the marriage aspect? Because if it's made by man, then man can edit it. I've never understood the idea that separating church and state is a good idea. And you know what, at the end of the day, again, like you said, you'll know them by their fruits, and their fruits are rotten at the moment. So yeah, Christianity, in my opinion, is...
Come back.
He always cuts out with the best part, too.
I know, he's about to wrap up his statement.
So anticlimactic, man. I'm waiting for it, and then boom, it pauses. That's okay, inshallah. He was spitting up until it rose again. But we'll get him back, inshallah. But I know you got to get going soon, so it's up to you if you want to stay till he gets back to say salam, or if you got to go now.
Oh, it's okay. We'll wait 10 seconds. Come on, Bear. Bear? No. All right, let him know I said salam, okay?
Okay, inshallah. Yeah.
Yo, salam alaikum, chat. It was always an honor having me on. Jazakallah khairan, Rami.
Wa alaikum salam.
Wa alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Take care, inshallah. It's so funny he said, it's always an honor having me on. Oh, may Allah bless him, man. He's a funny guy. All right, here we go.
Figured out the problem. Yeah, I think I figured out what was going on. Can you hear me?
Yeah, yeah, we're back, bro.
And then my audio is gone. What on earth is going on, man? 2 seconds. Right, let me rejoin quickly. Oh, wait, hold on. Let me leave and rejoin really quickly.
All right, take your time, bro. All right. Trinity is nowhere to be found in the Old Testament. Anyone who believes in it is a heretic. It's nowhere to be found in the New Testament either, bro. What are you talking about? The only instance is when I think Jesus was getting baptized, or someone was getting baptized, and they said, in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. But that doesn't describe what the Trinity is. That just names them, right? Make a video with I Am Lucid. Inshallah, we will. Inshallah, we will. That's the plan. So he's blaming the religion for the issue of the nation. Those two aren't conflated. But no, the problem is you don't see a lot of Christians actually pushing against this. How many Christians exist within, you know, America and Canada? And are they pushing back? Actually, there have been a lot of Christian communities that have essentially... relapsed and went back on, you know, whatever they believe, and said, you know, we will let them do whatever. But okay, we got our brother back with us. Assalamu alaikum, bro. Welcome back.
Thank you very much. Hopefully that's everything sorted now. I don't know what's going on, but
yeah.
So yeah, I try to not talk about Christianity anymore because it's just so infuriating to me. It really just annoys me how nonchalant and uninterested they are in actually removing the sin that's currently in the world, and they'll just debate until the cows come home whether Jesus was God. So it's like, so Jesus sent himself, he impregnated Mary with himself to give birth to himself, to then pass his kingdom back over to himself, to pray to himself, to then go and sit at the right hand side of himself. And people will sit and talk about that all day as kids are getting exposed to porn on the internet. And I go, what, come on, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's just infuriating, you know?
Yeah.
It's crazy absolutely. To me.
Yeah, 100%. I can definitely, it's beautiful because you're in the war room, correct?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's beautiful because I see this really amazing pragmatic and practical mentality from people who I've met who are either friends with the Tate brothers or with Jewel. Shout out to all of them. May Allah bless them, inshallah. Or they are in the war room. So I wanted to ask about that and the influence that maybe that had on your reversion to Islam.
So I've certainly got a lot of the, more from just people who are, because I'm based in Scotland, so the Muslim population is quite low. And I've got a lot of the whole, oh, Andrew Tate did it, so you're doing it. It's nothing to do with that. It's my own discernment that brought me to this conclusion. But for example, it was one of the Warren brothers that took me for my Shahada. And again, like actually, I say that the population is low in Scotland, but the majority of the Warren brothers in Scotland are Muslim. And I asked myself, why is that? And it's because they don't do haram, and they replace haram with working, with getting things done, etc. So... Yeah. It's great. I mean, I've been speaking to Joe quite a lot. He's guided me through a lot of stuff. It's very interesting, actually, because I was just thinking earlier, this time, a year and 2 months ago, I was working in a potato factory. And yesterday, Joe Sartorio messaged me, and I think he'll be fine with me sharing this, but he said that a Middle Eastern prince, one of the billionaire guys, had sent Joe one of my videos. And he's one of the guys that has no Instagram, like the big, big dogs. And I just thought it's quite hilarious how, but this is the thing, when you start giving up haram, everything that's said in the Quran, your life just starts to exponentially just shoot to the moon because like you give up lust, you now have unlimited male energy, you give up music and replace it with information, you now have a sharper mind and a deeper intellect than everyone around you. So it's interesting. This is another reason why I love Islam, is because if my trajectory continues going up, Islam is what keeps you grounded, you know? Because I have the saying that Shaitan's temptations never go away. They just sort of change face. So if you're like a low status guy and you struggle with lust, you struggle with, you know, like different coping mechanisms, say you just scroll on TikTok all day,
yeah.
Say you're addicted to pornography, say that you are drinking all the time to deal with your pain. If you become financially successful, those temptations never go away. The game's still the same, but they just change face. So you're, you know, looking at Instagram girls and pornography now becomes a bunch of haram women who want to extract resources from you through your own lust. The substances go from alcohol to cocaine on a billionaire's boat. Scrolling through TikTok all day goes from indulging in that to then indulging in material things you've got. And if you start giving in to them, all of your success will slowly diminish over time. Like, so I'm very glad that I found it at this age, because I feel like had I have had the upward trajectory without Islam, then there's every chance that if I didn't have that strong moral foundation, that everything could have crumbled around me. Because then, you know, where do you draw the line with certain things? You could get a Me Too case with this modern day feminism, all this stuff. So I'm very glad that I found it at my age. You know, I think it's the greatest defense mechanism against her, you know, evil in the world. So it's certainly a blessing.
Absolutely. I think that's beautifully said. Someone commented that you're 22. Is that true?
21. A lot of guys posted stuff saying I was a teenager, which I wish I knew this when I was a teenager. I feel like things would have went a lot better. But so yeah, 21, 22 in a few months. So again, like I said, it's such a blessing that I found it in this age, you know? Yeah. Because you look at what can happen to men nowadays.
Yeah.
You know, like with the whole divorce thing, like a guy can work his whole life, marry a haram woman because he was too blinded by his own lust, lose half his stuff, substance abuse, etc. So to find it at this age, it really has been a real blessing. And thanks to Christianity for being so cucked as well, because if they weren't, I would never have found Islam, you know? So yeah. I guess the Trinity has its positives, you know what I mean?
Alhamdulillah. I mean, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says in the Quran that the truth has come and falsehood has vanished. Indeed, falsehood is bound to vanish. Because, and it's like turning on light in a dark room. It's like, you know, you can see, you know, any of the shadows you thought you saw in the dark, or anything that you thought, you know, moved, you don't know what it is. Any confusion you had, just boom, you know exactly what's going on as soon as the light's turned on, right? So that's why the light of Allah, the nur of Allah is something that is profound. And we ask Allah to keep us guided. Allahumma ameen. But the stuff you were sharing actually is very advanced. I think it's very profound. And that's why I mentioned the war room, because I see this, like I mentioned, mentality with Jewel, again, shout out to the brother, and with you and people, you know, who are like-minded to them, where they just seem to understand life better than, you know, a lot of other people, even born Muslims. And that's something I mentioned to Jewel when I first met him, that the way he understands Islam is just so much better than even born Muslims, because they remove this beautiful practical aspect of it. You know, the whole thing about it protects you from evils and shaitan switching face. I love how you said that, bro, because it's absolutely true. You know, shaitan will even use your own religion against you. He will even try and twist your religion to get you to commit something that's evil in a sense, right? He'll play with your intentions. For example, let's say, you know how you have to make wudu before you go pray? He will do something along the lines of making you try and perfect it so much that you think you need to keep redoing your wudu over and over because you just can't get it right. It's not perfect enough. And then it gets to a point where you delay your salah so much, you delay your prayer so much. He'll try and make you either overcomplicate, overexplain, overdo, or whatever with the religion, and it might actually cause harm to yourself or other people. So shaitan is a very tricky person. He's been doing this for thousands of years. So he has a lot of experience over us, but we have the Quran over him and the guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yeah, 100%. It's interesting you mentioned how a lot of people who have reverted to Islam seem to be quite well-versed in what's going on. And I kind of feel like people like me, like Joe, like Andrew Tate, for an example as well, I kind of feel like, you know, if you have, and this is something that I read in the Quran, it was, I can't remember the specifics, but it was when the Mongolian Empire took over the Islamic Empire, and it was said that one Mongolian woman could walk into a house of 50 Muslim men and kill them all because they become so rich and sedated. And I kind of feel like, I think you'll notice this as well, there's a lot of new scholars who are trying to kind of water down Islam. I think there's going to be some infiltration shortly where they try and tell women, oh, the hijab's not necessary. Or if you wanted, because I know Reba, I've been speaking to quite a lot of people, because now everyone I talk to is Muslim. That Reba's been normalized to a degree. And I feel like me and Joel and people like that, we're kind of people who were in the wilderness, and we can see an army charging towards the fortress, and we're running over going, you have to stay strong, you know, because we've had our boots on the ground in the West and seeing how disgusting it gets, like the amount of heartache and break. And I feel like, you know, hard times create strong men. Yeah. And me and Joel, etc., experiencing what this modern day hedonistic, atheist, nihilistic, do as thou wilt world, what the fruits of that rotten tree and how poisonous they are. Yeah. I feel like we're kind of like messengers that will ensure that Islam doesn't get watered down, because we've seen how bad it gets when you water down your deen, you know, when you start to be complacent with things, how horrific it gets. Like, it's so crazy. Like out in the West, the amount of degeneracy, and like the average life for like a young guy now is he's molested on his phone from 9 years old till 20. He gets into debt. He's lied to his whole life. A young woman, if she's not lost her virginity after coming out of high school, she's shamed. So you have these broken people who are all in debt, all afraid, have no skills. And then you get these new, because I think it's very clear now that Islam is the final hope for humanity. And I think the people who are trying to herd the sheep, for example, and control the world, they're now going to start to try and infiltrate Islam. And I think that people like me and Joel, our message is to go, you have to stay strong, because any compromise, like, where do you draw the line? If you start compromising on like women wearing the hijab, etc., how do you then stop them from posting haram things on Instagram? And then just where that leads to, because we've had our boots on the ground, you know, you have to stay strong. And it's hard nowadays because of the amount of temptation. But yeah, stay strong with the deen, because it gets really bad, man, like really bad out here. So.
Yeah, 100%. And people need to be really careful about where they get even their Islamic knowledge from. Because like you mentioned, yeah. And by the way, this has already taken form. This has been in the works for like years, bro. I'd say maybe even two decades, like 20 long years since, you know, that event that happened with the Twin Towers. I'm not going to say, because I don't want to get this stream demonetized.
Oh, bro, it's so insane, man.
Since then, they've been planning very meticulously how to undermine Islam. There have been, you know, reports written by Rand and other governmental agencies who have this specific task of trying to undermine Islam and make it more democratic, make it more liberal, make it less Sharia-like. And they have done this in the form of paying institutions, paying imams, delegating exactly what is and isn't and can't be said about Islam. And there are many aspects of our religion that a lot of Muslims unfortunately water down, a lot of shaykh as well will water down. And there's a hadith of the Prophet, peace be upon him, where he said, there will come a time where people from my nation, Muslims, look to make alcohol, men wearing silk, adultery, fornication, and music halal. They try and make these four things halal.
Craziness, man. Craziness. I wish I could talk about that event, because that really infuriates me. But I won't, because I've been striked two times on YouTube, so I know how sensitive they are.
Gotta get a Rumble, man.
Yeah, I am on Rumble. But if I could say one thing for the listeners that won't get you banned regarding that event, look up the seventh building that went down and how it just suicided itself. It's so garbage. Like, this is the problem, like you were saying, with paying institutions. This is one thing that Sharia law would outlaw, because you can't have fiat currency. And I say this is what kind of got me banned to a degree. I actually think it was because I mentioned the...
Yeah.
But if you have fiat currency and it's not backed by a hard asset like gold or silver, like it would be in Sharia, you can just print as much money as you need to pay people to do things. So if you want to infiltrate Islam, you can just print with the Federal Reserve $10 billion. There's no one stopping you. Give it to these people. Give them enough until they accept the haram. It, like, has to go. I'm so pro Sharia law, man. Like, I'm so pro Sharia. I've been looking into it. Like you said, regarding fornication and adultery, a lot of people will sit there and say, oh, because I think the punishment for adultery in Sharia is, I don't want to get you banned, but it's like,
yeah.
And it's like, if you start allowing adultery, what happens? The family unit breaks. What happens to the kids? You look at statistics of young guys that grow up without a dad, the crime rate goes through the roof. Yeah. Okay, so that's going to lead to more murders, going to lead to more crimes, more drug abuse, more debt. The women will become promiscuous because they've lost faith in the idea of marriage and love. So when people have a problem with having a law that's actually enforced, think logically, you know. I think people are too blinded by their sin, and that's why they won't accept things like Sharia, because that solves every single problem in the world. Like, it's crazy. So yeah, like, that's the thing. Like, as long as fiat currency exists, you're going to struggle to stop this. And I say this all the time with things like TikTok, things like Instagram, things like the pornography industry. They are all free. And as everything in the world is shooting through the roof, as the cost of living and the cost of everything is going through the roof, why do these things like music, why is Cardi B's music always still free? Well, if these things lose money every year, because if you look at, I think 35% of all internet traffic is pornography, right? Which, if you wanted to, like, a kid back in the day, it was hard. Now every single kid gets molested because of what's in their pocket. That industry does not make money. It's all free. The way they keep it afloat is, if you have fiat currency, you can print as much money as you need. They don't care about profits. They make the money. You can print as much as you need, give it to that industry so they stay afloat. It's crazy to me. But yeah, like you said, the amount of propaganda with events like the one 20 years ago, that's why people are afraid of things like Sharia. It's crazy. Like, like we said with the adultery thing, and how that is a very punishable act, and it should be. People don't see that as liberating, and they've been so brainwashed that now the idea of a woman wearing a hijab and not being seen as like this voyeur for weak men's lust, apparently that's, what's the word, like misogynist and not empowering. But yeah, OnlyFans is now the fourth biggest career choice in the West for a woman. So selling yourself online to men who don't care about you for fake money that's backed by nothing more than bombs, that's empowering. People are too blinded by their sin. And then what do the Christians do when this is going on? Oh, Jesus was God. He prayed to himself. It's like, just burn it down, man. It's crazy, you know? It infuriates me.
Yeah, 100%. And it's unfortunate because, like, people will hear you say Sharia law and they'll just lose their mind because they don't know what it is, right? Because it's so demonized in the West. But let me explain just some parts of Sharia law. Do you want to not ever pay income tax again? That's Sharia law.
Oh, bro, it's crazy, man.
Yeah. Do you want a system that is based on like things that actually have tangible value? You know, commodities like gold and silver and diamonds and jewels. And do you want that kind of system, or do you want a system that's based on money that will inflate over time? That's, you know, no more valuable in its physical attributes than this piece of paper I'm holding here, and that if, you know, the reserve currency switches, which it might happen soon, would cause a complete decimation and destruction economically of a country. If you want that, go to liberalism, capitalism, these Western societies. If you want something commodity-based, that's what Sharia law is. If you want medical care for you free of charge, that will be in Sharia. That's not going to be something you find in America. These beautiful things are done by Sharia because the job of the Khalifa, unlike the president, the job of the Khalifa is to instill the best interests of their people. The Prophet ﷺ, he said that the leader is the shepherd of those under him, those following him. And that the relationship between the Khalifa, the Islamic ruler, and the community is one where he is taking care of them, he loves them, they love him, so on and so forth.
Yeah, I totally get what you mean. The thing with taxes as well, like, people are so brainwashed, man. It's like, you don't need taxes. So people will talk about how, like, oh, someone making 100k a year needs to be taxed 50%. They'll tax you and then go print 10 trillion to go bomb a country overseas. They don't need your tax money. Think with your head, you know what I mean? And for the people who are non-Muslim, I believe, and I could be wrong, so but I'm pretty sure that the tax for a non-Muslim in a Sharia society is like 2.5%. Would you prefer that?
Less than that. It might actually
probably
be
less. I think it might be. So it's like, would you like that, or would you like your 60% in Canada when you make more than 100k a year, which doesn't even buy you a house? It's just ridiculous, mate. Like, this is what happens, and this is the thing with the taxes. In my opinion, is they don't need it. But the reason you're taxed so heavily is because when they get you into debt with fiat, they now own you. You have to show up to work. You have to comply with things like the C19 thing. Because if you don't, you'll lose your job, you'll lose your house, etc. So if they can tax you 50% as well, they then prolong the debt period where you can't stand up to anything because you don't actually own the assets that you're using because of usury and rebut. it's an interesting one, man. I'm not sure, because this way of living in the West, where it can't go on because the birth rate's so low. Every young guy nowadays is so incapable of doing anything because of all the brainwashing. The US dollar's collapsing into nothing, and I'm pretty sure all the SWIFT system nations are coming away from it. So it's like, what if you don't want Sharia to replace that, you can get a Stalin who will come in and give you communism. He'll wipe out your migration. He'll wipe out your fiat currency. He'll wipe out your doobies and your nightclubs, but you're not going to get a land in that. And, you know, it's like these things can't go on forever. It'll be very interesting to see what replaces that system, because the like in the, I don't know if the Quran says this, but I know the Bible does, where it says rotten trees bear rotten fruits. And, you know, a rotten tree can't bear good fruits. So this system is destined to collapse. So it'll be interesting to see what replaces it. I mean, and this may be overly ambitious in some people's eyes, but, you know, being where I am at 21, with the information I have, the resources I have, one of the ambitions I have would be to try and bring in Sharia to the West, you know, because I've had enough of it. I'm not going to bring in, because I want to have loads of kids. I'm not having sons and daughters by the time they're 9 years old, they're exposed to the most disgusting things on the internet imaginable, and you can't escape it. It's crazy. It's ridiculous. So, you know, inshallah, that can happen, but it's a weird time, and it's crazy to me as well. It seems like people want to be enslaved, because if you took an hour out of your day just to read over Sharia and what it is, it's so clear as day that it is like a divine source of law. But people won't do that, and they'll, you know, it's crazy to me. I don't understand it. I don't relate to it, but, you know, inshallah, it will be Sharia that replaces instead of this central bank digital currency. Will that get striked? I don't think so. The new currency, you know. So it's a weird time, man. It's very interesting.
Yeah. Inshallah, inshallah. One thing we know for sure is that Islam will triumph everything eventually. We know, actually, I think it might get a little bit worse before it gets better. But Islam is going to come clutch in the end. And the reason is because it is something that Allah has promised, right? God himself has promised that Islam will come back. And not just because we believe it, but because it's a system that is built to dominate. Look at what the Prophet ﷺ did. The best example is that of the Prophet, peace be upon him, his companions. He came in a tribalistic society. It's a completely different ideology. They were tribes. They actually hated each other. They wanted to murder each other. And the Prophet ﷺ, he came, he taught this message. He met persecution in the form of name calling, slander against his name, boycotts, economic sanctions even, many other things. All of which they do today, by the way, to people, you know. They tried to offer the Prophet to be a king for them. He's like, oh, just come be a king for us. Just stop preaching this Islam stuff. Why? Because they wanted to continue with their way. They wanted to continue to have people pay to worship idols. They wanted to continue taking advantage of the poor and the weak. They wanted to continue to take people and put them into, you know, slavery under their own authority without any actual authoritative accountability over them. The Prophet rejected that, obviously. And then eventually Islam dominated. And he built his Sahaba, a whole group of people that eventually beat Quraysh, they beat Mecca, they dominated, became the rulers of Mecca, they were the rulers of Medina, and eventually within, you know, a few decades, they conquered Rome, Persia, what was left of Persia, up to the borders of China, and Islam expanded, not in the way that Christianity did, which actually, by the way, a lot of the time with Constantine, was by force and coercion. Islam expanded for the most part just by things like trade, some wars, yes, 100%, and by people accepting it on their own accord because it made the most sense. And it's something that lasted for 1,000 years. Capitalism and liberalism definitely cannot do that. It is not sustainable.
Yeah. If you look at the expansion of the Islamic Empire, you can thank Sharia law finances for that. I find it funny as well. Like, how do I say this? I think there's going to be a lot of false idols that revert to Islam to then subvert it. And I'm not going to name names, but I can see that they will try to do that. So, for example, like you said there, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he was throwing all these things, trying to get him to just cuck, in essence. I can't think of a better word to say. And I kind of feel like there's going to be a few people, if not already, that are going to revert, and they're going to become idols. And then the young population of Muslims will no longer be interested in sacrificing their material possessions for what is actually right. So, how do I word this? I've lost my train of thought to a degree, actually. So, yeah, I think that's going to happen. I think there's going to be a lot of infiltration from false idols. I've completely lost my train of thought. I was going with it, and I can't remember what I was going to say. My apologies.
No worries. Were you going to say that a lot of these people who start to worship false idols as Muslims are going to start preaching that to the people and try and confuse people who look into Islam?
Yes, I think there's... Yes, exactly. I think that there's... So the people in control of the world, they can't do anything to you. And I say, when people talk about the Matrix, and I made a video on this the other day, that when people come to you and they tell you, you need a Lamborghini or your wife's going to leave you, you need to be this and that and that, that's just marketing. It's creating a problem where there is none so they can sell you the solution. And what I think is going to happen is they're going to bring in idols, if they've not already, who are hyper-materialistic, they're sterile, but the young males look up to them. So they're going to be like, oh, you need to get your Lamborghini, or you're a loser, you need to have this much money, or you're a loser, you need to get with all these girls, or you're a loser. And because there's a lack of masculine role models, the young Muslim population are going to idolize these people. But the actual, it's like when farmers give their cattle feed so they can milk them, they'll give you your nice idol, and you'll go, oh, finally, there's a masculine role model. All I need now is a Ferrari and a bunch of haram women. And I think they're going to bring in these people so that those young Muslims who would actually stand up and start, you know, having marriages and getting out of debt and speaking the truth, and they'll become too afraid to speak the truth because they've been marketed so heavily that they need their Ferrari, they need this cool Instagram account, all this stuff. So I would watch out for the false idols particularly, because especially in the influencer age, I think that's the way they're going to target people. I mean, if it were up to me, speaking of influencers, I would just burn Instagram to the ground. I'd burn Twitter to the ground. I'd burn all. I'm actually building my own social media for this thing, just because of how much propaganda can be spread on these platforms. The amount of idol worship that can go on. Again, I always talk about the lust side of things and what a child can see unwillingly. So yeah, watch out for the false prophets, because I'm pretty sure they're gonna start pumping them into Islam to subvert the young males and make them sterile and materialistic, etc. So I would watch out for that 100%. Because then those guys who put things like money on a pedestal, put things like followers on a pedestal, if someone goes to, if someone wants to cancel these things, take away their money and take away their platform, they're not going to denounce that and stick to their deen like the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, did, because they've put material possessions on such a pedestal. So I would certainly watch out for that. Again, if it's not already occurred, but I'm not going to say anything because I don't want to get like suicided or that, you know.
Yeah. So where can they find more of you on this topic, Unfiltered?
Unfiltered is a hard one. So I am making my own social media called Dawagram, which I think is a cool name. So on there, because I will own the servers, I can say what I want. But on YouTube, I can get my message across in a way without saying trigger words. So my YouTube is Lord Bear Logos, or Lord Bear, if you just type that in, it'll be the first one that comes up. Very valuable content. I'd go follow it because there's a good chance I could get banned any minute. I've had two strikes. And oh, this is another thing regarding just before I go.
Yeah.
We were talking about how they're going to get these people to start watering down Islam. I had my channel for 2 weeks and got strikes twice.
Oh my God.
If you see people with massive platforms who are preaching the same thing, just question as to why that could be. Because if they want you banned, you will be banned. So if you see people with massive platforms who are saying, oh, actually, in this hadith says that OnlyFans is great, you know, like, just be careful, because if these people are on these platforms, there's a reason that they're allowed on it. So yeah, you can find me on YouTube would be the majority place to go, and then from there all my other stuff. And I look out for Dawagram, because it's going to sink Instagram and Twitter into the ground, because I've had enough of them.
Inshallah, my brother. May Allah bless you and grant you success. Allahumma ameen. You heard it here first, guys. Inshallah, go check him out, subscribe. And if he loses his account, you can probably find him on Rumble and the new social media platform that he's creating, inshallah, which may Allah grant him success in that. Look forward to having you again on soon, bro. I think you got a lot of good to share. And inshallah, we'll do this again soon, my brother.
Perfect, my man. Take care.
Inshallah. You as well, bro. Assalamu alaikum.
See ya.
All right. Alhamdulillah, amazing brother, amazing talk. You guys want to continue with the reaction to Brother Ruslan on Sneakle's reversion? Also, to the person that said that capitalism and Islam are not, like, you know, opposing in any way, that is the most ignorant thing I've heard. I'm sorry. Pure, what is pure capitalism? Pure capitalism, at its core, is that 1% of people profit off of as much as possible and everybody else suffers. That every ounce of society is made private and there's not one thing that's public. You know, so imagine police, fire, healthcare, every single thing is private. There's not a public sector in existence. And what would happen is a very few small percent of people would profit greatly and own like everything, and then everyone else will suffer. Obviously, no one's going to accept that. The numbers, the masses will not accept that. So they had to make it social friendly. So they made it social friendly. But capitalism and Islam are two completely different things. For example, the Prophet ﷺ, he said that there are a few things that everyone in humanity are co-owners in. He said the pastures, the fires, the wells and water, and so on and so forth. All these things are free to people. You can also derive things like, you know, healthcare and all that stuff. So Islam 100% goes against capitalism. It goes against socialism as well. And the problem with these ideologies is that they're man-made, and men are not perfect, which means they will make flawed laws. And you might say, what's the problem with that? You know what happens when a law is flawed? You know how many people suffer? This, by the way, is one of the reasons that shirk is the worst sin. A big reason, if not the reason, shirk is the worst sin in existence is because it causes people to make their own laws, their own way of life, and then put that way of life upon the masses of people that are under them. And they automatically always take advantage of the poor, take advantage of the weak, take advantage of those who cannot help themselves or speak up for themselves. And they do not equalize them in any way, and they will always take whatever they can from the system they created. That's the problem with man-made ideology. That's the problem with shirk. Worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is calling on none other than Him, not doing any good acts except for Him, and fully obeying nobody except Him. If you don't do these three things, you can't say you worship Allah. If you negate or neglect any of these three things, you are committing shirk. And that's why Islam is powerful. Because it's not only clear and concise and makes sense, but it's practical, it's pragmatic, and a lot of the good that we have, even in Western societies, came from Islam. Let me go on a rant a little bit. Child benefits, the amount of money you get from the government because you have a baby, came from Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, who was the second caliph of Islam after Abu Bakr, or the third after the Prophet ﷺ, if you consider him the first. That came from Umar, that came from Islam. The basic fundamental method, which is a scientific method, came from Ibn Sina, from the Muslim world. Who Ibn Sina, some say that he fell out of the fold of Islam with some of his beliefs, but his practice and everything came from the Islamic society he lived in, the golden age of Islam. Same thing with Ibn al-Haytham. Same thing with algorithms. Same thing with laws. For example, innocent until proven guilty was made really mainstream by the Muslims. And there's a historian who wrote about this and how this Muslim way got introduced to Western society. And just in case you don't believe me, during the translational era for Europe, they were translating a bunch of Arabic books of philosophy and law and mathematics and science and religion and all these things from Arabic to Latin, right? From Arabic to Latin. And then they studied these things and then made it the basis of their, basically, you know, their revolutions. And they benefited based off what the Muslims did. And now, with their man-made ideology and their laws, which caused the oppression of women, the oppression of different cultures, the oppression of different people, all these problems, children being abused, all these horrible things that their laws got them, they think that now they can reprimand all that and then say, look at all these problems and throw it onto Islam. Oh, look at how women aren't free. The reason you don't think women are free is because you oppressed them for years. You oppressed them for decades. And now all of a sudden, just because she wears a burqa, she's not free. When you're the one who oppressed her for a long time. You're the one who didn't give her the right to vote. Islam gave that 1400 years ago. Why are you coming to us saying, oh, you forced them to wear the niqab? Get the heck out of here. What the heck do you know? You just recently discovered that yourself, boy. I pulled out the boy like Muhammad Hijab. Alhamdulillah. Islam just makes sense. It's understandable only to people who use their mind. I mean, honestly, if we're being real, the only people who will not accept Islam are those who are arrogant, those who are vastly ignorant, or those who presuppose that something else is true, like liberalism. A lot of people just presuppose liberalism is true and good. But you live in a society, of course you're going to think that. So I think that's one of the biggest problems. And they set a standard for religion and for God that they don't set for anything else. And I don't just mean in the sense that, you know, extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence. We provide extraordinary evidence, like prophecies, which can only be proven in hindsight. They don't want to accept that. So may Allah make it easy for us. May Allah guide all of those who have not been guided. Allahumma ameen. May Allah keep us on the straight path. Ameen ya Rab. I guess I'll get back to the reaction here, inshallah.
These are, Jesus is, even if, whatever position you take.
Yeah, yeah.
He's not, no one ever literally ate Jesus's flesh and drank his actual blood.
Yeah.
The blood that was shed on the cross. And in that,
a comment. Rami, address faith flicks. They keep saying the Bible mentioned in the Quran is what the Christians use today. Firstly, the Quran does not say the Bible. It says the gospel. And you don't have the gospel. You have the gospel according to Mark, Matthew, Luke, John. They all differ in different ways and focus on completely different things. And then you have the rest of it, which is the New Testament written by people like Paul and Luke, who never met Jesus, and other people who claimed to be Peter, but it was a forgery. He wasn't actually Peter. He lied. And then 2 Peter's was the same thing. So please, you know, just educate yourself on this first and foremost. And just don't believe me. Look into it for yourself. You'll see.
Do wish that someone could have given him a different picture of this and a different example, because this is of the sacrament. There are certain folks that the bread and the wine is a meal.
Yeah.
Right? It's a meal. You have like a dinner feast.
Yeah. And then how beautiful is the bread and the wine?
Right.
The wine is actually viewed throughout history as the drink of the rich.
Yeah.
And the bread is actually viewed throughout history as the food of the poor.
Mm.
And so the beautiful thing about the Eucharist that sometimes people don't talk about is that this is where the poor and the rich come together.
Interesting.
You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
At the table to receive, to be a family.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And for me, this is just beautiful imagery.
Yeah. All right. So let's go back. So that's the first thing I noticed. And I was like, man, that's really interesting, because I instantly thought of that Bible passage. But I was also genuinely curious, like, how deep did he go on this? Right? Just because something sounds a certain way, you're not factoring in figurative language. You're not factoring in anything. You know, it sounds like a shallow rebuttal to something that was addressed in scripture,
or not enough homework.
It wasn't addressed in scripture. It wasn't at all. It's just, he just mentioned generally that multiple times, you know, this is the bread, and this is the wine, and this is the flesh, and this is the blood, and if you eat it, then you will have eternal life. He just says that like 7 times. He doesn't actually explain what it means. And the problem again is not that it exists in Christian scripture. The problem is that people practice it at mass. They drink wine at mass. They eat bread at mass. I remember I was so ignorant as a kid. I went to a Catholic school. And I always tried to skip Wednesdays because that's when they had mass and I didn't want to go. Because on top of not being a Christian, it was just long and boring. So the first time I was there, I didn't know what the heck was going on. Everyone stood up, got in a line, started walking to the front. I'm like, okay, I'm doing this. And then they give me the little sacrament or whatever. And I just see everyone eating it. I'm like, okay, that was it. And it's like, what is the point of that? I don't see the point of that. And to back it up with scripture, you have to have some kind of evidence for it. Did the disciples practice this? Did Jesus practice this? Seems like in the Gospel of John, he just said it 7 times.
Homework, right?
Or not enough homework.
But this is the thing that attracts a lot of people, a lot of people who grew up Christian to Islam. Islam has more sectors of Islam that are very, very overtly fundamental,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean, in their views, where they know that they know that they know.
Sure.
Right? And so when that is advertised to a Christian, it's like, you ever had any issues with the Trinity?
Yeah.
Well, We don't, because we don't believe in it.
Right.
You ever had any issues with, you know?
Yeah. And even in the verse, in the previous verse where Jesus talks about like human effort doesn't mean anything. Like you don't earn your way to heaven.
I don't understand his point. I really don't get it. We have different factions that are all very certain about what they believe. I don't understand that. Like 95% to 99% of Muslims in the world are Sunni. So I really don't understand what he's saying there.
And that contradicts the innate nature in people to want to earn their righteousness.
Right.
Right. You want, it doesn't make sense to say you by grace through faith, you're saved. You have this natural propensity to want to perform and do good things.
Absolutely. Not every act of obedience comes in knowing everything. Sometimes it comes out of knowing who God is and saying, hey, I'm just going to trust the Lord.
Yep.
Because you're eating his body. His body is a symbol of the cracker. That's true. And then you drink the wine. That's a symbol of his blood. This is Jesus' blood. And then you sip it out of respect for him. And I like the fact that Islam doesn't draw Muhammad, peace be upon him. You're not supposed to ever visualize that, because he was not alive in our time. There's no way that we would know what he looked like, especially Allah, God. He's never drawn. We have no idea what he looks like, or because there's no way. Humans are too stupid. We're not mentally capable of understanding what God would look like.
We can't conceptualize.
So it's not supposed to. In Christianity, I grow up and you have like God on a cloud. And it's like this guy with a white dude on a beard. He's like laying in a cloud and he's like putting his hand down.
So it's interesting that he has an issue with Christian iconography.
Yeah.
I don't know what to make of that. Obviously, there's certain Christian imagery that's not helpful. For example, blonde hair, blue-eyed, white Jesus.
Absolutely.
Not helpful. Not helpful at all. But then there's other stuff that's beautiful and amazing. The Sistine Chapel in Rome. I'm not a Catholic, but I've been there. It's incredible.
Yeah.
There's a lot of Christian art and sculpture and innovation and music and hymns and gospel music. That's amazing. So he goes to specifically like, we can't conceptualize God, but I'm like, yeah, I don't, that's not the same as having an idol of someone.
Right.
Drawings, paintings.
Right.
That is exactly the same thing. I'm sorry, Ruslan, that's exactly the same thing. When you have painting of what Jesus allegedly looked like, you are idolizing someone who you believe is God. I don't think it's that confusing, to be honest. I think the video is pretty long, so I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but I mean, like, it's pretty clear here. You're drawing a picture of a man who you believe was God. How is that not idolizing God or making him to an image or an idol? I really don't understand that. And by the way, to the person who mentioned that Jesus did kind of mention the bread and wine and the Last Supper, I don't mean is it in the New Testament. I mean, did Jesus actually say that? Did Jesus actually say these things? We believe in the table spread that was sent down to Jesus and his disciples. But that actual phrasing, did he say that? There was a book written by the Jesus Seminar and some other scholars called The Five Gospels. I mentioned this a lot. And they rated every saying of Jesus. They put in bold black letters anything that he definitely never said. They put in gray letters things he probably didn't say. They put in pink letters things that, okay, he probably said it, or it's reasonable to think he said it. And they put in red letters things he really likely said. Most of the book, majority of the book is just like black letters, which means most of the things that are in the New Testament, they believe that Jesus just never said to begin with. And there's reason to believe that. Like I mentioned, I have the podcast coming out with Dr. Dennis McDonald, who authored, honestly, an encyclopedia talking about how a lot of stories about Jesus were stolen from previous figures and put onto Jesus. And it was actually a practice they had called literary mimesis. It's honestly like an art. It's really beautiful the way they do it. It's just these things never actually happened to Jesus. Jesus never actually did these things. And it happens a lot. And inshallah, when the episode comes out, you guys can look into that. But I think I'm going to go ahead and end off this episode soon, inshallah. We'd love to hear from you guys and take some comments here. The problem why they can't understand Islam is because they can't be humble. They think God came to them wrong. You have to go to God. I think that's a good point. But the thing is, when you take a step towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will come to you manyfold. Allah will make it easier. You know, we have the hadith, whoever, you know, basically goes out a hand stretched to Allah, Allah will go out like an arm stretched to him, and so on and so forth. The most illogical thing about their arguments is that every religion could use them and could use against them. Yeah, 100, like the whole thing about faith, you know, just have faith. Okay, well, I just have faith in Islam and that's it. Actually, I don't just have faith. It's based on evidence, but I'm going to use the argument for them. Adrian, much love, brother. May Allah bless you, inshallah. Please get Snicko on more. He needs to better formulate his ideas on Islam. He did a poor job on Fresh and Fit. He just accepted Islam, bro. Relax. He literally just accepted Islam. I'm pretty sure if you just started studying something, you wouldn't articulate yourself in the best manner either. And by the way, Snicko's actually been doing an amazing job. The way he was speaking with Gideon, was shout out to Gideon and a few other people. I actually think he did a great job of it. I believe he said some things maybe that weren't exactly correct. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, guide him. But, you know, we're going to work with him a lot, inshallah, in the future and in future episodes and stuff. And I think he's been doing a great job recently. The Three Muslims turn into Rami channel now. I have my own channel, Rami Al-Khalil. Look it up, inshallah. You'll see a dashing picture of myself as the profile picture. But no, inshallah, the brothers are going to be back soon. They're just both super busy and super hardworking. Snicko is doing really well considering how many Christians are dogpiling him. Yeah, 100%. And you know, this is important. Muslims need to support Snicko, especially with the way he's been representing Islam. Bro, he's been doing an amazing job. And we as Muslims need to support him against anyone who's trying to go at him. Anyone who's trying to call him insulting names, we need to go against him. Anyone who's trying to say he just accepted it for clout, we need to go against him. Anyone who's saying he's just following Andrew Tate, we need to go against them. As his brother, he is our beloved brother in Islam, our, you know, brother in belief. Also, the gospel is against Muslim theology. You have to deny God's word. No, actually, New Testament scholars, not Muslims. They're not Muslim, none of them. New Testament scholars said this. People who studied Greek and Aramaic and Hebrew, those who actually looked at the evidences, those who are taught and learned in textual criticism, they said that. Not me. The Quran does say that, yes. And it's also proven empirically. Please explain difference of teaching da'wah such as Mufti Menk and Omar Suleiman versus stricter shayukh. Well, that's a hefty question, man. I don't want to name names. So I'm going to remove all those names from your head. I think people need different forms of da'wah. I think there's a softer approach. And for people who are softer, you know, like the young men and women, I think they need a soft approach. For some guys who are really kind of hot-headed and they need to be yelled at to get the point across to them, they'll appreciate, you know, someone like Muhammad Hoblos for that. May Allah bless him. I think he gives amazing lectures. I think there's also an aspect of people, unfortunately, who do water down the religion unnecessarily. And although some people might disagree with whether that's okay or not, I think it's absolutely abhorrent and wrong to water down Islam. Islam is as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed it. And something my teacher taught me recently is it's not up to us to choose when someone's ready to hear something or not. It's not up to us to choose when to give a revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala since He already sent it down. So yeah, we have to be wise if they will accept it better tomorrow than today. Okay, maybe there's room for that. But we have to be straight up about our religion and not lie. And who are we lying for, honestly? Like what? Who are we lying for? There are secular scholars that deny every religion. Yeah, but their field is in biblical studies. Their field is in the New Testament. That's what they're studied and learned in. You don't have, by the way, people who studied the Quran saying the same thing. Actual scholars who studied Islamic history saying the same thing. You don't. They wouldn't dare deny it because there's no evidence that says the Quran has been changed like the evidence that shows the Bible definitely has been. I brought this up by accident, but Rami, can you be Christian without believing the Trinity? Address that for Jalen Jackson since he doesn't want to answer me. It depends on what denomination you are. Like, you can't be a Catholic and not believe in the Trinity because you're not Catholic anymore. But there are some denominations of Christianity that don't believe the Trinity. No wonder why shirk is an unforgivable sin. It's too confusing. Just keep it simple. One God, alhamdulillah. I discussed before the dangers of shirk earlier if you want to go back and see. Rami bro, American Voice is asking you if you can come on. He's a reaver. Also, reacts. Any of those brothers who want to come on, send me a Instagram DM. Not the Three Muslims DM, but my personal DM, Rami Al-Khalil. Inshallah, I'll be happy to bring you on maybe for a brief second, or we can schedule something next week. So make sure you hit me up, inshallah. But I do think I'm going to go ahead and end it off soon. Smart Muslim scholar is Imam Nawawi, rahimahullah. Yes, he's very very well known, very popular, rahimahullah. I wouldn't say harshness with others is the Prophet's tradition. We should be grateful for our diversities and da'is. Yeah, sorry, ignore the train if you can hear that in the back. I'm going to mute for a second. Okay, alhamdulillah, we're back. If nowadays Paul write to his friends, Christians will make WhatsApp. His WhatsApp is God's words. That's funny. The reason it's funny is because he wrote letters, and those letters basically went were widespread, and people kind of took it as you know, prophetic tradition, I guess you could say. The high priests are too busy being okay. Thanks. There are many smart Muslim scholars. One does not negate. Yeah, we never said one negates the other. Don't worry. We're not like hating on Imam Bukhari because we praise Imam Nawawi rahimahullah. Don't worry. We're good, inshallah. But Taib, I think that's enough for one day. I would love to talk to Ruslan. Doesn't look like it's going to happen in person, but if he's down, inshallah, I'd love to do it even in this format online. Amazing guest today, Brother Jad and Brother Bear. May Allah bless them both immensely, inshallah. I think I'm going to go ahead and end it off. With that being said, Allahumma atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhaban nar. Inshallah, I'll see you guys in the next one. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.